Chapter 2, The Science of Winning. If you're anything like me, the very sight of the word science may give you nightmares of grueling college courses like anatomy and physiology or organic and inorganic chemistry. Let me assure you, that's not the case for this book. I promise you, the word science, even though a bit intimidating and sometimes overwhelming at first, will take on a whole new meaning by the end of this chapter. Previously, I mentioned how part of my discovery was coming to the realization that winning is a science. Now, what exactly does that mean? And how did I figure it out? This chapter concludes with my personal discovery and journey of this illumination. But let's get to first things first by defining science. And it won't be boring or intimidating. The Oxford Dictionary defines science this way: the intellectual and practical activity encompassing the systematic study of the structure and behavior of the physical and natural world through observation and experimentation. Well, that's probably more adjectives than you bargained for. I like to define science as the study of a matter to learn the inner workings, potential, and projected future of said matter. With this in mind, how does the science of winning operate? Simple. It functions just like the science of any other subject. The evolution of a winner. Even though winning seems to be an elusive and intangible concept, taking on many forms in essentially every field and arena of life, this reality is actually what makes it so scientific. There's not a single field in which the strategies, tactics, and techniques of a winner cannot be studied. Whether running, dancing, writing, selling, acting, or becoming champions in personal relationships, the greats in any field don't become great on their own. They learn the secret of winning, which is really no secret at all. Modern aviation is a perfect example. From the beginning of mankind, man has been fascinated with flight. The idea that man could defy gravity and fly like a bird has always been both enthralling and scientific. Those who made great gains, breakthroughs, and accomplishments, people like Leonardo da Vinci, the Wright brothers, or Howard Hughes, would all be classified as winners in aviation. How did they achieve such great feats? It's quite simple. They submitted themselves to the four phases of the evolution of a winner. Understanding and adhering to these same four phases will propel you forward from your current status and position toward world-class performance. Phase 1. Imitation. Imitation is the first form of scientific discovery. It's the "how did they do that?" phase. Every scientific process begins with an inquiry. Basic curiosity and intrigue are the catalyst for becoming a winner. Once you come to know how predecessors accomplished the incredible, you can then move to the point of replicating it yourself. But first, you must have an understanding of how it was previously accomplished. Has imitation ever succeeded? Well, you decide for yourself. Pablo Picasso was inspired by and imitated Vincent van Gogh, who studied and copied Claude Monet, who was influenced by and replicated Rembrandt, who admired and initially imitated Michelangelo. Each of these legendary artists were inspired and influenced by their predecessors. This evidence is clearly obvious in the progression of their individual works. Imitation is an inarguable initial step of every artistic phenom. But let's bring it up to our day and age. The legendary comedian Jim Carrey started his journey by studying and mimicking one of the greats, Steve Martin. Today, Jim Carrey still carries many of Martin's signature traits long after developing his own unique comedic style. Oprah Winfrey stated that she began practicing her public speaking in her childhood by imitating her pastor and orating memorized portions of scripture. This child preacher prodigy went on to evolve into the queen of daytime TV. International pop star Bruno Mars locked himself away as a teen and studied the godfather of soul, James Brown. If you don't believe it, just watch Bruno in concert. Featured in the 2015 smash hit Uptown Funk, Bruno boldly croons, "He's so hot that he's gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty." It just doesn't get much more James Brown than that. Imitation is the first action step of the evolution of a winner. It always has been. From our infancy, we instinctively watch and imitate. It's how we initially learn anything and everything. So, how can the science of winning apply to your vocation, hobbies, or relationships? It's simple. Look at the great ones in any desired field or skill set and study what they did and do. Inquire, hypothesize, experiment. Winning can be studied, tested, and dissected. But even more exciting is the fact that it can be duplicated. Imitation of the great ones is the genesis of becoming great yourself. You're on your way. Phase 2. Innovation. After the phase of imitation is perfected, you then begin to morph into a new form, from scientist to artist. No longer are you only replicating, now you're creating. This is where you begin to use your own imagination and expanding ability, moving beyond mastering the techniques and practices of your predecessors and into your own innovation and improvisation. Your expertise of the matter begins to release an artistic expression in which you devise better ways to accomplish more than those you previously admired. Like Michelangelo in the Sistine Chapel, the artist, you, raises and illuminates a beautiful new ceiling. Let's return to the aeronautical example for a moment. Who was the first person in history to study flight? No one really knows. What we do know is how each person imitated and then innovated along the way. Finally, in December 1903, Orville and Wilbur Wright launched a new artistic design, a system of flight, that broke through all their predecessors' failed attempts. The Wright brothers would be the first to penetrate the barrier of human flight, but it was just the initial breakthrough. Many other accomplishments would soon follow as fellow pioneers like Alexander Graham Bell, Armand and Henry Dufoe, and Amelia Earhart had their day in the sun. Modern-day aeronautical scientists have now become aeronautical artists, designing beautiful creations which defy gravity and inspire dreams. These scientific artists continue to innovate in the world of aviation, melding technology and design into an art form that the visionary pioneers could only have dreamed of. We've seen the same type of metamorphosis in the area of personal computers over the past 30 years. In a field once predominantly occupied by coders and programmers, we've watched imitation turn to innovation right before our very eyes. The power of processing that used to require a room full of computers we now hold in our hands. Thank you, Steve Jobs. What would the world of computer science be without the progression of innovative artists? The same can be true for you in your respective field. As you move from scientist to artist, you will begin to innovate beyond the accomplishments of those you previously revered. Yes, you will still admire their work and artistry, but in a different light. Their victories and winning status once inspired you to dream and gave you hope and a purpose. Now, your victory is their victory. But even greater than you becoming a winner at this moment is how your victory will fuel the fire of those yet to come. Phase 3. Inspiration. Winning is a state of mind. The inspiration phase is when you transition from research and expression into a place of transcendence. No longer are you moved by what you merely see and hear. Now you feel and know things to which others are oblivious. You might not even cognitively recognize this distinction, mainly because you now see the world differently than others. In this stage, winning in your field is no longer just what you study, replicate, or reinvent. Winning is your new state of mind. Does it sound too far-fetched? It's not. Not only is this mindset obtainable, it's well within your reach. While there are countless numbers of real-life examples for this particular scenario, let's use basketball legend Michael Jordan, arguably one of the greatest, if not the greatest, basketball players of all time. Michael Jordan didn't begin his illustrious career in the Hall of Fame. In fact, it's just the opposite. Jordan started the game of basketball just like every other kid, admiring his old-school NBA heroes and imitating their techniques. He wasn't always the great one. The first time he tried out for his North Carolina high school varsity squad, he didn't even make it. As a sophomore, standing 5 feet 11 inches, Jordan was deemed too short for the varsity team. So what did he do? He hit the gym. It was time for innovation. For the next entire year, Michael Jordan rigorously trained while playing on the junior varsity team. His efforts to improve his game, combined with a fortuitous 4-inch growth spurt the following summer, landed him a spot on the varsity team the very next season. Jordan was now a winner in the area of high school basketball, but he was just getting started. In his quest to continue building, strengthening, and developing his game, Michael attended the national renowned 5-star basketball camp during the summer before his senior year. It was at this camp where he met the University of North Carolina's legendary head basketball coach, Dean Smith. Later that year, Jordan signed a letter of intent to attend UNC on a full-ride basketball scholarship. He would go on to play 3 years for the Tar Heels, winning an NCAA Basketball National Championship along with the prestigious College Player of the Year award. But his quest for greatness continued. In 1984, the Chicago Bulls selected Michael Jordan as their third overall pick in the NBA draft, but they didn't plan to keep him. Their original intent was to trade him for someone bigger, a move which would now be considered preposterous. No matter how loud the critics yelled, Michael Jordan never ceased to improve his game, leading the Chicago Bulls to 6 NBA World Championships. From imitation to innovation to inspiration, Michael Jordan transcended conventional thinking. Winning became his state of mind. True, you might not be an NBA megastar in the making, but this same path of winning is possible for you. You can move from the scientific study of others who have obtained championship status in your field to mastering your own artistic expression, wherein the world becomes your canvas. At that point, you begin to approach every situation, scenario, and opposition from the wisdom of your past victories. You're no longer intimidated by challenges and opposition, but rather invigorated and even more, inspired. At this phase, you've witnessed yourself winning so much that it's now your default state of mind. Winning is your new way of thinking. Winning is what you expect. The possibilities are now endless. Moving from imitation to innovation to inspiration releases your limitless creativity. Your confidence is in full stride. You've found your mojo. What takes others weeks and months and even years to accomplish, you complete in a matter of minutes, hours, or days. You've mastered your craft to the point where it becomes part of your being. Now, it's time to transform into the final phase of the evolution of winning, the phase which positions you for greatness in your field. Phase 4, identification. When winning becomes your life's identity, everything changes. You begin to approach every situation with the expectation of winning, not just the possibility of victory. Even temporary setbacks or momentary losses aren't ultimate defeats, but rather opportunities to reset the scientific process. Now you begin to view failure through the eyes of the great Henry Ford. He described failure this way: failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. In the face of seeming defeat, the winner's internal dialogue is, "What can I learn here? How did I end up in this place? What steps can I take to assure I won't be here again?" Losing is no longer a part of your long-term destiny. Why? Because you're a winner. Winning is what you do. Winning is who you are. No longer a mere survivor, you're now a thriver. There's no room for doubt. Failure is never an acceptable destination. In fact, any and all fears of failing become the fuel that propels you to victory. To those who never obtain this level of success, these thought processes and attitudes can sound ultra cocky and arrogant. That's simply not the case. Confidence in one's capabilities is essentially the winner's next level state of mind and mental frame of reference. In essence, how you see yourself projects how you perform and how you influence those around you. When winning becomes your identity, it's evident to all. Wherever you go in your sphere of expertise, everyone identifies you as a winner. They actually expect you to win. Why? Because winning is more than just a shot-in-the-dark fallacy. Winning is your scientifically proven, artistically enhanced, inspired identity, and everybody knows it. Just ask the poor guys given the daunting task of guarding Michael Jordan in his prime. They all knew Jordan was a winner. Being identified as a winner is much more than an ego boost. It actually releases the four phases of winning all over again. Again, Michael Jordan is a perfect example. Over 20 years ago, Jordan was an NBA champion, which made him idolized and imitated by many would-be NBA stars. His patented tongue-wagging dunk can still be seen today. But inspiring players like Kobe Bryant and LeBron James didn't stop at phase one. They continued to develop their own game by adding inspiration and innovation. Today, these NBA superstars are identified as winners, which positions them, just like Jordan in the 90s, to be imitated by young future NBA players, and the pattern continues. As you can see, the true beauty of the science of winning isn't simply winning for yourself. It's the ability to perpetuate winning to those who follow. Putting science to the test. Now that we've discovered the four basic phases of the evolution of a winner, allow me to give you my own personal story. It's how I learned and implemented this valuable process, even at a young age. I didn't start out as a championship fighter. Actually, I began my journey as a sixth grade kid being picked on by others at school. To help defend myself from bullies, my mom asked me if I would be interested in taking a martial arts class at our local YMCA. I jumped at the opportunity, and in the summer of 1985, began walking my road. Little did I know the hidden talent that lay dormant within me. Within 2 weeks of instruction and imitating my instructor's moves, I began to rapidly outshine the 50 other kids who were chaotically bare-knuckle fighting on the hardwood gymnasium floor. There was nothing safe about the 80s. After my third week, I was invited to compete in my very first tournament. Sad to say, I lost. I lost bad. It wasn't because my opponent was necessarily better, tougher, or more experienced. He simply played the game smarter than me. So I took my first loss as a lesson and returned to the gym. Months of hard work and dedication had passed. When I was invited to participate in my second tournament, it was an opportunity for my vindication. The results? I won. As a matter of fact, I still have that trophy today, and it's just as special to me as any of my other championship medals. The fact that it says first place, Pee Wee Beginners Division, makes it even more priceless. Throughout my career, I didn't always win. In fact, I lost a lot. Every time I moved up in a new age or rank bracket, there was always the guy who no one could beat. And every time I employed the same strategy of winning, starting with imitation. What makes this guy tick? Why does he always win? What does he do differently than everyone else? I studied how the champion won and began to imitate it. But that was only the first phase. After imitating came innovation. Where could I creatively improve until my techniques and strategies became superior? After taking many lumps and beatings, especially in the new ranking categories, I came to the place where I beat the guy, which meant now I was the guy. It was now time for phase three. After a series of victories and championships, I began to transcend to the state of mind where winning was my expectation every single time I stepped into the ring. There was no doubt in my mind. It was game time, and I was going to win. Even when I didn't, it was only another opportunity to go back to the lab and start the scientific process all over again. During my 15-year competition career, I followed this exact process over and over and over again. I became so adept at imitating and innovating that I learned to replicate the success of the winners two or more levels above my division. This carried me from Pee Wee Beginners Division to regional, national, and eventually world championships in the advanced black belt divisions. In each new category, I followed the four phases of the evolution of a winner: imitation, innovation, inspiration, and then came the last phase, identification. What began to eventually happen was amazing. Whenever I showed up for tournaments, certain competitors would hang their heads the minute I walked in the door. In their minds, I was already the winner. They would say things like, "Dang it, Scrivener's here. Looks like second place is the best we can do." I was already in their heads and had won the match before it even began. Why? Winning had become my identity. Being a winner. Believe me, my story isn't to brag or to make myself look better than I am. As I said, I lost plenty of tournaments and suffered through more black eyes and bloody noses than you can imagine. Actually, I walked into the ring of my final world championship bout sporting two black eyes acquired in the training the week before the competition even began. I must have looked like a freak of nature, especially standing on the winner's podium with a gold medal around my neck. The reality is, I'm a regular guy, complete with all the flaws and issues found in every other regular guy. But along the way, I've learned and implemented a system of winning. I'm confident that as you begin to execute these four phases of the evolution of a winner, you'll begin your journey of winning as well. But that's just the beginning. The science of winning is what I call Winology 101. The following pages contain the entire Winology process. By specifically walking out every part of this 9-step system, you'll begin to win in life at a higher level than ever before. Before you begin, it's important to understand that the 9 steps of Winology are not in random order. They are systematic, progressive, and sequential. Each step builds upon the foundation of the previous step. I cannot overemphasize this enough. Resist the urge to be a know-it-all and jump ahead, skipping steps. If you do, you'll jeopardize the longevity of your winning status. Winners are finishers, so don't quit the process. Resolve right now to finish strong. Don't quit. This system isn't only designed to teach you how to become a world-class winner, but how to remain one for the rest of your life. So, what's the first step? It's called Urgent Excellence. Intrigued yet? If so, keep reading. Your journey has just begun. Oh, and I told you that science wouldn't be boring, didn't I? And we're just getting started.